Whether you just watched your very first comic book movie, or you can quote Tolkien at the drop of a sword, we'll help you embrace your passion for science fiction and fantasy books, movies, games, television, and more. So get ready to laugh and geek out. Hit subscribe and find your clan. Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I prefer my Wookiee with a medal around his neck, and I am an anomaly.
And my name is Angela, and I am all of the anomalies before me. Also, I'm in a glass case of emotion, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back, sort of. This is kind of our pretend comeback. Why did we do this, Jen?
Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
For the second time tonight, what, an hour ago?
An hour ago we got out of the theater.
And then I was like, hurry up, go home and get on the internet so we can record an anomaly review. Go watch it and enjoy it.
Nothing is going to compare to your headcanon. Nothing's going to compare to what it is that you want or what you felt the first time you saw the trilogy or anything like that. Everybody knows I go get my nails done, one of my girly things, and one of the new girls who's so young, they commented on my shirt because I was wearing my Star Wars shirt to go see the movie with Jen, obviously. And she's like, oh, I'm a Star Wars fan, but I only like the old movies. And she's like 14. I don't know. She's probably in her 20s, but in my mind, she's 14.
What is the old movies to you,
lady?
And
I'm like, well, she meant the original trilogy. I feel like her boyfriend told her that. I mean, maybe not. Somebody asked me, somebody else, because it was like a bunch of people sitting around, said something about, oh, well, when did this one come out? And I was like, oh, well, that was 77. And this was, and which movie was the one where he said, I am your father?
Oh, Empire.
Empire. And the girl, like, literally didn't know any of these things. And I'm not saying that that doesn't mean she's a fan. She can be any kind of fan she wants. We are equal opportunity fan people. But don't try to tell me, sister, that you only like the original Star Warses and that this is no interest to you. It's of interest. It's of interest. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe not. I mean, if she didn't know which one.
I'm so mean because, like, this is not what we're supposed to be doing. It was just something that happened today where I was like, oh, how can you say that? How can you say you don't want to see any of these movies? Like, I can understand going to episode 7 and being like, look, this is in my bag. I don't really want to see it. But not going at all, how is that even possible? Anyway, sorry.
I don't blame you for having that feeling.
That was my reaction.
It sounds like she's repeating what she's heard.
Yes.
Maybe it didn't come from her boyfriend.
I don't know. Well, she's married.
It's just the internet, what the internet says.
Yeah, maybe.
I am so over what the internet says.
You and I have talked about it. The prequels are not our favorite, but we still watch them.
We still enjoyed them.
We still found things
to like about them. We still think Anakin was a creepy creeper.
But he definitely was. But the lightsaber battles were amazing. And the music was always good. I mean, there's all kinds of good things. And so if you're really like in love with this series, you want to have everything. You want to know it. Of course, also not everybody is a fan like we are. So maybe it's a different type of thing.
I think the people who are complaining the loudest are quote unquote fans.
Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
But it's the ones that want to poop in your swimming pool.
Oh my God.
It's toxic.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've been trying to pinpoint, and I probably should have listened to our podcast about Last Jedi. We were a little upset by some things in that movie. But then also, there were things that I loved in that movie. There were really high highs, but they were really low lows. I think that's why it was even more disappointing in a way, is because you know how to do this and you still kind of pooped, speaking of pooping, kind of pooped on some of the things that were important to us. And it almost took away from some of the really cool things that we got. Like the whole force connection between Ben and Rey, he establishes that. The Last Jedi is all about that and it's done so well. And the Kylo Ben story in that movie is actually really good, and the throne room scene, and like there's so many cool things that we forget about in that movie because there were so many other really horrible things. You know, Luke and the weird casino thing going on, and then all
and
of
the blue milk.
Oh, don't, oh, like I can't even with that. I hate it so much that it blinds me.
Still enjoyed the movie, though.
But I did still enjoy the movie. But I feel like that is the thing. Maybe I'm the only fan who feels that way. But I almost forget how much I liked some of the things in that movie because of these things that upset me so much. And I wonder if maybe some of the things happening in this movie, they just, much like the blue milk and some of the things that really upset us, maybe upset other people in this movie and kind of clouded the good things. I'm just saying, since I've been there as a fan, I kind of understand if there's things that, some of the things that people have pointed out, I understand and I agree why they're upset about this movie. But to me, it didn't cloud it as much as the last movie did.
I think that there are a lot more things to like about the movie than to dislike.
I agree completely. And the things that I don't like are very, they're a level of dislike where I'm like, you know, I wish it could be different, but I'm okay, or I kind of get it. I don't want to, but I kind of get it.
Right.
So anyway, this is a very long non-spoilery review. Sorry. Got excited. All right. So we ready?
Let's spoil it. Okay, let's first talk about the things that we thought they could do better. We will, like, hug it to death all the way through the rest of the episode.
Okay, hold on just a second.
You have a list?
Well, I took notes. I took notes, so I want to make sure that I don't miss anything. Oh, the things they could do better. I think they could have been nicer to 3PO. I get the joke about 3PO, but I feel like they could have given him a little more love since he sacrificed.
Give him a break. It's the last one.
Give him a break. Yeah, poor 3PO.
He saved everyone.
He did.
Good grief.
Goodness sake. And then this is not really something that anyone could have done better, but I am disappointed about the story that wasn't able to be told about Leia. That is just the world. That just happened, and there's nothing anybody could have done about it, and it makes me so sad. Just nobody could have done anything different. I think they did as much as they possibly could. Oh, the other thing.
Can I have one first?
You do. You go. You go.
You remember that.
Sorry.
I'll remember it.
Go.
In The Last Jedi, after that, a lot of those toxic nerds I was talking about had a major hissy fit over a specific character in the movie and her romantic interest in Finn. They harassed her to the point where she dropped off social media. I mean, she was such a excited fangirl to even be in this movie. And then by the end of it all, they chased her off. In this movie, when they could have, they didn't have to pursue the romantic through line that they were trying to do in the last movie, but they just seemed to cut her out almost altogether. And it almost seemed like the toxic nerds won.
Yeah.
And that's what bothered me more than anything. If the story didn't work, fine, but it almost seemed like they minimized her on purpose
to prevent
any sort of backlash.
Shame on them.
That is the biggest problem I had.
Well, mine is a totally different scale, although I agree that yours is worse than mine. And I had this problem with Force Awakens, is that I think they played the bad guys, the Sith, the First Order, the Last Order, the Final Order, whatever the hell they call them.
The Final Order.
They overplay their overpoweredness to the point where it's boring. The stakes are so high that they're ridiculous. What you're trying to do is raise stakes so you really think there's something to lose. And granted, there is something to lose. The only thing I can give them is that they were trying to kind of play the beats from Return of the Jedi, where she looks out and he shows her all the ships going and dying and, oh, they don't have much left. I mean, that was a point-by-point retread of that scene, which I don't mind them doing to pay homage to that scene and looking at how Luke felt and how Rey felt and all of that. But when he is able to force lightning a bunch of ships in orbit, and he never dies, we don't know how many Horcruxes he has. I don't know. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so absolutely ridiculously ridiculous that, oh, by the way, Palpatine's still alive. Like, and I realize that's the entire premise, and so it's a pretty big gripe. And I know the movie just doesn't happen unless we do it this way, but it didn't get exciting for me at that part. It just got more boring, just like when the First Order was attacking 10 planets at a time. And now, oh, every single one of these. Oh, that was something at the very beginning. You and I looked at each other today and we were like, we have some infrastructure questions.
Yes. Emperor Palpatine signed a huge omnibus bill.
Right.
And now they have all these Star Destroyers.
A lot of resources.
And a lot of those crystals that they had to really struggle to find.
Yeah. For the Death Star. Kyber crystals. How many engineers know how to do that? Jin's dad was like the only person who could do this, you know? And he built something that had some problems. So, anyway.
We're just being consistent, people. We're not raining on the parade.
Oh, no, we're going to start making out with this movie in like 10 minutes.
For lack of a better term, we will.
Go ahead.
When we first reviewed The Force Awakens, our biggest beef with that was now there's a whole planet that can destroy other planets and they can travel through hyperspace.
Jeez Louise.
So we're just being consistent.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to, it's apples and oranges, but like, for instance, Thanos coming back in MCU, right? Is like, that's a real, like, it's, there was still some suspension of disbelief there. Things looked really bad for our heroes, and you really felt like something crappy was going to happen because you had already seen him do it, so you knew he could do it again. So I really felt the tension there, whereas here, it's like, just get on with the Force Lightning, will ya? So that was my biggest beef, I think. If I come up with another one, I'll insert it, but did you have another one?
No, that was really pretty much it.
Cool.
I mean, there were some things that were a little open-ended, but I will allow that because you cannot squeeze everything into a movie.
Oh yeah,
it was already over 2 hours long.
Oh yeah,
I am absolutely positive that they're going to revisit a lot of these open-ended questions.
Oh yes,
in novels, and they may even do spin-off television shows or spin-off movies.
Ooh.
Just because they said that this is the end of the Skywalker saga doesn't mean Finn or more
Poe or the other stormtrooper people.
Rey, Maeve, she's a Palpatine. Is that really a Skywalker saga?
I don't know. I mean, who was it? I think it was Russell or maybe one of the guys from Star Wars Tax that told us that Poe and Finn have signed on for more movies, but Daisy Ridley has not. So,
well, I think that would give it all away if she did.
Well, that's true. And, oh, okay, sorry. I just got excited about something that I remembered that I liked. So, but we're not there yet. So let's get started about the things we liked.
Let's hug it out.
All right. Everybody ready? We need to have some music for this.
Okay.
You go first, since I complained first. You can be happy first.
Okay. There's so much going on in this movie. It required me seeing it twice to catch things that I missed the first time. It's like trying to take a sip from a fire hose. There were moments that I was just completely satisfied with.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, mm-hmm. when Rey goes back to the island that Luke was on,
ugh.
And she burns her ship and she throws the saber in and Luke catches it, gives her a lecture, and then at the end, he lifts the X-Wing out of the water, brings it full circle, and that moment where he and Yoda are on Dagobah, and Yoda tells him that it's because he doesn't believe. And here he's lifting it up, and he has that smile. He's communicating to us that he's in a different place now, and he's passing on what he knows. He's passed it on already to Rey. And here's the ship. She's taking the baton. The ship was the baton. I mean, there were all kinds of little moments like that.
Mm-hmm. There was no one that I knew personally who was more offended by all of the Luke stuff in Last Jedi than my husband, honestly. Like, he almost refused to see it again with Russell. And it wasn't a fanboy thing. He really felt, like, personally insulted by the way that Luke was treated. On the other hand, in this movie, when that happened, he said, I feel like I was apologized to. I feel like I got a direct apology. I said, I get it. I feel that way too. And that's one of the walkbacks where I'm like, yes, thank you. I'll take that apology. I know that's terrible, but I loved it. I don't care. I need to talk about my favorite part of the whole movie. Everybody, just hang on. Okay. Most of the things I'm going to talk about have to do with Ben. Because it's my favorite thing for the whole all three movies. I feel like now that we've seen the end, if you go back, the one consistency of this, the one thing I think they did plan was Ben's arc. And I feel like it was done so well. Adam Driver did a great job. Of course, I'm a little bit biased because I kind of have a crush on him, but I am being positively open about that. My main thing that I love so much is the scene at the end where she puts the saber behind her back and then it shows up in Ben's hand and then he like pulls it out and he looks at the Knights of Ren and he just has that look on his face and he's like, we're going to do this. Like, and you said it perfect when we were watching today. He looked like Han. That was like the most...
Yeah, they wrote in some things like that that were things that Han would have done. Like when he jumped from one ledge onto that gigantic chain and he hit it, he went, ow. That was a Han thing.
And then it was when just he's not a bad guy. Like he's not, he has let go of the darkness. Like he's just a person. And I just.
Well, it was our only chance to see
him.
What he was like before he turned. And it was nice to see that he was like his dad.
I know.
You know? And speaking of that, one of my favorite parts was when he got to see Han. People were like, that's just a memory or whatever.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I don't care. And it was him rehashing that moment on Starkiller when they killed off Han Solo. He played it out the way it should have been played out and threw the blade away. And he said... Dad, and he says, I know. The I love you, I know from...
I know.
From I know. Empire.
I know.
One of those moments that I said were just completely satisfying, and I don't think they could have done that better.
I don't either.
When I was younger, it used to bother me because I am an emotional person during movies, and I cry, you know, during scenes that are probably not as tear-jerkery,
we
you know, to other
people. We are the
people.
Same. No, you and I both do happy cry during movies. You and I both happy cry. And sometimes things just can get overwhelming. And so it's not just about whether it's happy or sad. It's just emotional.
Even though I had seen it once before, it got me again.
Uh-huh. I got more emotional in the second viewing. I think because there was so much to take in.
Well, I was more emotional during the end when she died, when she was laying there. I found myself starting to cry, and it didn't happen the first time. I felt the enormity of what had happened.
Yeah.
And what she took on, where she started and where she ended through it all remained who she was. Even though there were scary moments where you thought, oh my gosh.
I never thought she was going to turn.
When I saw that trailer and I saw Sith Rey, I said, nope, that's a vision.
That's a vision.
That's like one of those cave scenes where they're confronting their fear. And I was right. But when she was hammering down on Kylo, you know, taking it to him, it was scary, and not because I thought she was going to turn, but she was more scary than he was when he was, you know, in full Kylo mode. And
yep.
I think they did a good job of showing that he cared about her.
Yes.
But was still scared of her, but was still pursuing her.
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
how to put that into words, but
well,
you and I were talking about that on the way.
Yes.
Just how she's a Palpatine, and knowing what Palpatine was capable of and seeing her fly through the air at times. And it's just like,
she mad.
She's gonna do one of those you know.
Some Bilbo things happening there.
Yes. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm not very articulate tonight.
That's okay. No, and we have another podcast to record. Fun time.
I know, right after this.
So you reminded me of like my biggest beef that I totally forgot about.
Oh, no.
Because I was so worried about Palpatine and all his ridiculous power. Ugh. They went to the trouble, Jen, of getting all of these voice actors together
yes.
to do all of the voices for all of these awesome Jedi and Sith and these people. Ahsoka's there, everybody.
Yeah.
They didn't think for a second to make them all Force ghosts, even light Force ghosts. They didn't have to be full on. They could have been, I thought this is what was going to happen. And I talked to other people who felt that way too. You're in this dark cave. It looks like the end of Return of the King when Aragorn goes in and gets all the ghost guys. So the technology has existed for 20 years at least. The technology has existed to do this. Now, I must admit, I liked the lines better the second time around, but instead of just being like, I'm all the Jedi, I'm all the Sith, I'm all the Jedi, go Sith, instead of saying that out loud, like you're in a stage play where you can't do these things, why not have movie magic where you get to see Ahsoka and you get to see Anakin and you get to see everybody, and then they all of a sudden
exactly.
go power up her body? That would have been so kick-ass.
It was hard to pick out whose voice I was hearing, and I had to wait through the credits and see who was in that shot. I mean, I heard Anakin. The second time I heard Mace, I thought I heard Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon is in there, and the guy from Rebels.
Caleb Dune.
No.
Yeah, that's his Jedi name.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever his
Kanan.
Name. Kanan.
Kanan. Yeah, but his Jedi name's Caleb Dune.
Oh, okay. And the first time around, I didn't even hear them.
You recognize things visually within nanoseconds.
Yes.
It would have been more impactful if we saw them and not necessarily heard them. But I would have still liked to have heard them say those things.
Both.
Just seeing them would have been
epic. Also, even if it was just a little bit of a suggestion, and you, like, again, like, it didn't have to be them full on all there behind her. It was so easy. That was low-hanging fruit. It's just a little extra time in the editing room.
It could have been a question of money. Yeah, we're talking Disney. The Empire owns Star Wars now. Still, I mean, it could have been contractual, you know, issues with their image. Using their image again.
They own everybody. They own all of those people.
Well, I know. I remember Carrie Fisher joking about that. Like,
yes.
Anytime she looks in the mirror, she has to pay
George Lucas George $2. Lucas.
Yeah.
But how cool would that have been? And then you could have even had, you know, been even cooler if you would have had Anakin on one side and Vader on the other, right? That would have been cool. Yeah.
That part of himself no longer exists.
I don't know. I mean, anyway.
But it would have been cool because we know that is possible, you know, in the EU, in the game series. Like when we played Knights of the Old Republic, you go back to Korriban, which, why did they rename the Sith planet?
Why did they
rename it? Not necessary, Disney.
Not necessary. Ugh.
When you go to Korriban, there are Sith ghosts there. And that's what I thought Palpatine was going to be. And I was...
That was... Okay, can we talk about how seriously weird, goth, messed up all that was? That he was hanging from some kind of weird spider arm? That was messed up.
It was so cool, though.
It was...
It was
very
Borg Queen.
It was
like, where's
very
the rest
Borg
of his body? I wanted to know, was he like a rotten corpse that fell apart from the torso down and was not in existence? And it was just an empty robe below his chest?
Or, ooh, like how, Voldemort.
Yes. Like, yeah. How was that working? His face looked more flesh-like, you know, when he was Senator Palpatine.
I think that that's HD technology. I think that's a problem with HD movies. Is that...
No, I'm just saying that when he became, like, when he absorbed their power, their life force, he looked more like the Sith Palpatine that we see, Darth Sidious in Revenge of the Sith. And before that happened, he looked more a dead man.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, I thought that was an interesting choice that they made in what he looked like before and after.
I don't know. There's so much to discuss, Jen.
I think this is totally, they're going to revisit this stuff in books. And I told Chris and Joe from the Star Wars Stacks, which if you don't listen to the Star Wars Stacks, typically Chris and Joe and I review books, but we've been doing an RPG game with Angela and Rick, Rico.
Hi,
also.
I'm Angela.
Yeah, Angela. And I was talking to the guys and I was like, I cannot wait for these books to come out. And they're like, I know. We're going to review them again.
I'll make Russell read them and tell me what happens. What? I have my things that I do.
Since we're in the throne room right now,
one
of the visual things I noticed right off the bat, and I thought how artful it was, you know, when Rey was walking through the huge crevasse into the throne room, you see this structure in front of her that's shadowed. You don't know what it is. It's enveloping her as she enters the throne room. It looks like it's reaching out for her. And then when you get in there, you see her looking at the throne. It's the Sith throne with the spikes on it. And I love how they made it look like arms that were about to swallow her up as she was coming into the room.
I love
that. That was really artfully done. And also, I was able to recognize the themes, old themes that we love and instantly recognize, like, especially when Lando showed up. His theme, and having John Williams in there as a cameo appearance.
That was awesome.
Always recognizing that he is so much a part of the saga. You can't have Star Wars without the music.
Nope.
And to me, the best music came from him.
Yeah.
And everyone else was playing in his sandbox, you know, that came after. But when Rey and Kylo came together to fight with the Luke and Leia's sabers, playing his theme and her theme, and it no longer sounded like the ominous, you know, Kylo Ren theme. Mm-hmm. It was a light, positive sound. I was like, how did they do that? How did they make such an ominous theme song sound so heroic?
They switched
heroic
it to a major
now.
Key.
It's heroic now, and it blended so well with hers.
There's so much, and I don't want to skip around too much, but since we're already here, the whole thing with their force connection, being a dyad and all of that stuff. I dig it. I dig the whole thing. I love the whole idea. I am back and forth about whether that means that there's a love connection. I'm not against it completely. I'm like 80% there. But when I first watched it and he revived her and I knew they were going to kiss, I was like, they're going to kiss. Don't kiss. Don't kiss. Then I was like, are they going to kiss? Okay, they kissed. And then Adam Driver sold it with that smile. I think it's because it maybe reminds me of my own husband when he smiles, because those dimples and everything. I melted into a puddle on the floor. When he leans back and ghosts, I was like, oh, I just felt daggers to the heart. But Ben can't live. He murdered lots of people and he can't live. But it's a much better way for him to go. But
we should revisit our original trilogy.
Oh, man.
Reviews that we did. But
oh, I agree with how I feel about it. I agree how I feel about Darth Vader. Go ahead. You can call me out because I have an answer.
No. When we reviewed Return of the Jedi, which is in our archives on our website at anomalypodcast.com, if you want to check it out, I had said that at the time when we reviewed it, that Return of the Jedi was my favorite because at the end of the movie, Anakin redeemed himself. Him dying was fine because Vader had done lots of bad things.
Yeah. And I agree.
He had to be punished, and I think he was willing to accept the punishment.
Yes.
But I loved that deep down there was still some good in him.
Yes.
And he was able to come out of the darkness. And I think that's a good message for people, that no matter how dark
you
feel like you've become, like if you're prone to depression or, you know, if you feel like you've done horrible things, that it's not too late. That's something else they keep saying in all these Star Wars games and movies and television shows that I see with people who have gone dark. They keep saying it's too late. Like Kylo says it. It's too late. I can't come back. Now, I've heard people say that in real life.
It's
never too late.
That's so interesting and maybe just needs to be the crux of what we talk about. You're so right. And I think what's interesting to me, and I still feel like, because you and I debated this for Jedi, because I guess, and even if you count the prequels, I still felt like we got to this point where it was like he was Anakin, then he was Vader. And then once he became Vader, he was killing kids and he was being horrible and he was horrible and he was Vader. And there was no sense that he was tortured about it until the moment that his child was in danger. And then all of a sudden he sacrificed himself, which was very noble. And it was great that he did that. But there was no indication to me. It kept feeling like, and even in the prequels, he looks like he's going to go dark. Like, he doesn't look like he's tortured. He looks like he's headed down a dark path. And he just keeps going further and further there. Whereas the Kylo story is the opposite. He felt like he failed from the beginning. And I think that maybe, and this is just something Russell and I had talked about, you know, the Jedi way was very much about, oh, suppressing your emotions. And there is no feeling. There's, you know, there is no passion. There's only serenity or whatever the crap it is. And that is so damaging to a person. And so that means you get someone like Ben who has feelings, who is Leia and Han's son. He has feelings and he has a feeling and he is powerful and he doesn't know what to do with it. And he's basically a teenager. He has one bad thought. He thinks one bad thing. He does one bad thing and he thinks it's over. And so then it's all about getting back at people. And then he just thinks that he's done. It's to your point that you were saying, like, he thinks he's done. But over the three movies, we see him struggle constantly. And that's why I say that I like his arc through all three movies, is because you see, it's almost like the opposite of Vader, right? Like, I just thought of this. I'm so sorry. You can interrupt me at any point.
Go ahead.
The opposite of Vader. So you saw Vader constantly just like, you see him kind of as a boy, but then it's this anger that just goes further and further and further, further into the dark. Whereas Ben is the opposite. He starts angry in the first movie or in the seventh movie and this Kylo Ren evil creature, but he's tortured and it's like, this is his journey to the light. I don't know. I just love that. That's why I like it. It was done really well with all the missteps that they've done in the script and the writing and some of the story making no sense. That is one thing that I feel like had a very good through line. And I don't know. It was very emotional to me when he broke them apart. That was hurtful to me.
Broke who apart?
When he took their life force. And it wasn't just that he took their life force. Like, there was that visual of him breaking them apart. Not that you could do that because they were tied together by more than just the force, but that just broke me. Oh, it hurts.
I think when they wrote the script for Kylo, that is one thing that they were able to improve upon, because that was a major complaint that we had about Anakin's turn.
Yep.
in the prequels, George Lucas tried to show him, give him a reason to go dark, but we weren't buying into it. It was just like in our review of Attack of the Clones and Padme's decision to stay with him when he's like, I killed all of them and not just
I committed you know, some
the men,
genocide.
The women. And she's like, I love you. And we're like, what?
That's scary.
So, let's have children.
That is a red flag, sister.
Right? There were a lot of red flags.
There was a lot of red flags.
But anyway, they didn't handle that well. And I think in the original trilogy, they wanted to surprise you at the end. So they couldn't show that Vader was struggling.
There were
small moments when you can tell Luke was getting to him and making him think. In the EU, they developed that struggle better. Mm. You know, when he goes into his chamber to meditate, he's constantly tortured by what he's done.
Well, that's something.
That's something they did better in books, and that's why I read them.
After the smile, especially the kiss, didn't really bother me that much. But I do my one like little thing would be I wish they would have like done the hug, just a hug, like a very sweet, supportive hug, or it was like a passionate kiss. Like I wish they would have gone one way or the other. Instead of having whatever that was, because I thought it was sweet.
It was a sweet kiss. It was not like
I'm going to have you on the floor.
When I say passionate,
I didn't mean that they had to stop. I'm just saying that this
episode is going to have to be rated R.
Sorry. But that's not what I meant. I meant just, if I just got saved from darkness or whatever, I mean, I probably would have known I was dead or dying or in a coma or whatever. I mean, they obviously,
I think she was just happy. She was happy that he was Ben again. I think she was relieved
I'm
and happy.
Fine. I was too. I'm just being mean. Okay. I'm not being mean. I love it so much. I can't help thinking about it and talking about it. Okay.
Well, you know all those people who were shipping the Kylo and Rey relationship from the beginning, who do all those like caricature things on Pinterest and everything.
Yes.
They're like celebrating right now.
I'm sure. So, but speaking of shipping, I thought it was interesting. So we get the Carrie Russell character. What's her name? I can't think now. The Carrie Russell character for Poe. And obviously something going on there, so much so that they make a big deal out of it because there's been some shipping possibilities between Finn and Poe. And I feel like they made a really big deal to say, nope.
Yeah, they made them really bitter at times towards each other.
But Poe has a woman and he really likes the girls. And he likes this girl in particular. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they made that big
deal. Haven't talked about it, but Finn throughout the movie kept saying things like he felt the,
right,
he didn't say it outwardly that he felt the Force.
But he felt the Force.
And that he wanted to tell Rey something. I'm pretty sure he just wanted to tell her that he has developed
Force sensitivity.
Yeah. And I think people want him to be, romantically interested in that he wanted to tell her that. But I really think it's down to, hey, I'm a Jedi too, or I want to be trained or, whatever.
And that's a possibility.
I think that would be a weird thing they just leave hanging.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
He never told her what it was that he wanted to tell her before they sank into that weird snake pit thing. That would be weird. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be future movies with Finn.
So that'll be interesting. And I just literally wrote, Finn is Force sensitive for sure. And I underlined
for sure. We knew that, and in the beginning, like in The Force Awakens.
When he used the lightsaber,
He used the lightsaber. Everyone's like, no way, he's too good at that.
So I have some like random things.
Okay.
I guess because I've watched A Christmas Carol like four times in the past week. Kajimi kind of reminds me of Victorian London. Think about it. When they're walking around with the hoods, it's kind of like Scrooge London, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that was a weird observation, but that's one I had.
It is a holiday season, so you may just be...
Yeah, it might just be in my head, but it kind of had that kind of dirty sort of Dickinsonian quality.
And now it's gone.
Bye-bye. C-3PO got good moment.
He did. So he saved
everybody. And that was kind of fun. And then, of course, the introduction of my absolute favorite character in the whole three movies. Babu!
Babu. I like that character. Of all the new ones introduced.
Especially in this movie, yeah.
I did like the former stormtrooper.
Oh, yes.
I think that she's going to have a spinoff with Lando.
They
on
better
an adventure
do.
To find out who she is. That would be an awesome television series for
I would totally,
Disney Plus.
I would totally
I'd be
watch
invested.
That. Me too.
I was glad they didn't CGI Carrie Fisher into those scenes. They were using outtakes mm-hmm. for those scenes, and mm-hmm. it was hard to watch, though. Was it hard for you to watch?
It was very hard to watch. Not in, like, a bad way.
No.
But it was just emotional.
Yes. If you want to know how we feel about that, there's an episode.
Yes.
Our Carrie Fisher tribute. I was glad they didn't CGI her. They promised they wouldn't. And I was okay with it whenever they had the duel between young Luke and young Leia when they were mm-hmm. training.
Yeah. They got Luke almost spot on, too.
They never get her face right.
I almost wish they would have just had Billie Lord in it. Put her yeah. in. We all know it's their daughter.
Yes.
Like, just put her in the scene and everybody would be like, cool. Okay. That's Leia. Okay. I would have been way totally fine and cool with that. I don't know.
Speaking of Billie Lord, it was touching to see that moment where she had her arm around her, helping her out of the room.
Yep.
That was nice to see. And also Pippin.
Oh, yes. Dominic Monaghan. That was really cool.
It kind of took me out of it.
No, I love
because
him.
Because here's this immensely, immensely popular actor that I know from another epic series.
Yes, but
he's
just
randomly
in it that
there.
Much.
We don't know who the heck he is, and he has no significance in the movie. And he's just like,
you know why?
Come on,
it's the same
you,
reason.
Guy.
Well, it's been 20 years since that movie came out.
I'm sorry, he will always be a hobbit to me.
But also, he was on Lost. He's friends with JJ, and I bet you it's a similar thing that happened with Simon Pegg, because Simon Pegg is in Force Awakens, but he had just done Star Trek, so he was like, well, you can be in the movie, but you have to be in full makeup. Dominic Monaghan probably was like, dude, it's been so long since I've done my movie, just let me be in the movie. And he was like, all right, dude, I'll help a brother out. You can be in Star Wars. I'm letting that go. I'm cool with it. I don't have any problems with that at all. He's just part of the crew. He's cool.
Random guy. Oh, hopefully that's Rose's new boyfriend.
That's fine with me.
That would be fine with me because then she would win.
She would.
She wins. She wins.
Okay, we completely forgot to talk about Hux. That's hilarious.
I knew it was him. I knew he was the spy. His eyes gave it away when they said, execute them or whatever. And he's like, what? But his reasoning, I'm glad it was because he was just a total jerk face. He didn't care
he
about
really
anyone
terrible.
But himself.
I know, but that's what's so great is he had a very good through line.
Face. Yes.
He was pretty funny.
And a good ending. But who was the, was it a captain or a general or admiral? Admiral
yeah.
Pride?
So it's funny. So no, you know, I was talking about Dickens. So I realized what I knew him from. Like he's one of those British character actors that's in everything. He is Bob Cratchit in the Patrick Stewart Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
And that's where I was like, I know that guy.
There
and
were
I've
a lot of
it.
People like that in the background. I'm like, that person looks familiar. That person looks familiar. And I didn't think it was just because I'd seen him in previous Star Wars films. There were some people that I knew from other things.
But he's been in other stuff, too. But that was just the thing that I remembered him from, you know.
We don't know him from the original.
No.
Trilogy, do we? Because
no, he's
he said,
not
just
that old.
Just I did in the old war, I will do in the new world war.
I think that's
whatever.
Just, yeah, he's just talking.
I just wanted to make sure that
no, because I don't.
Someone we
were
I don't
think
to know.
I don't think he's even as old as Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. Like he's younger than that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So he, I mean, he's older than us, but he's not. You know, he's kind of in that in between, more of an in between age. Zorli is the Carrie Russell character. I had to look it up. I said it earlier, but we saw Wedge Antilles, so that was kind of cool.
Lando Calrissian.
Oh, yes.
He still has style.
He really does.
Jacket with a leopard print that was styling.
That's really, really true.
And we got to meet our friend Rick Pete in Austin. Aaron told him the first time he got to see him, he says, you look like Lando. And at first I was like, oh, geez, Aaron.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's just saying that because our friend Rick Pete's an African-American, so is Lando Calrissian. And I thought, you know, little kid, that's his. But he explained why. He said, no, he smiles like him, Mom.
Aww.
And he sounds kind of like him sometimes. And I was
I
like,
can see that.
Now every time I see Lando, I think of Rick Pete.
I could totally see that. So one thing Russell said while we were in the movie that reminded me is the reveal. Can we do spoilers for KOTOR? Has it been long enough?
If you haven't played that game, then you're never going to play it. So
that he thought that the reveal of Rey being a Palpatine reminded him of the Revan reveal.
Okay.
Someone who thinks they're good for a long time. Like, through the whole game, you think, or unless you play it. For me, I played the game as a good guy and as a light side. And then when you find out that you're basically one of the biggest bad guys, you have some decisions to make. And he said it reminded him of that. And I thought that was cool, because that it does kind of remind me of that. And I thought there were lots of little nods to Revan.
It was a parallel to Luke.
I know.
He felt pretty awful, and so did Leia. I'm not poo-pooing Russell at all, because it is. I'm just saying.
But I feel like since it was a slower burn, I don't know. I've lived with the idea of Vader being Luke's father for so long that it was, I don't know how to explain it. Because the first movie I saw in the theater was Jedi. So I knew.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so I was, because of how young I was. And so I've kind of always known that. And so this was more of a surprise to me, just like the Revan reveal. So I guess, and the same thing with Russell, because like, I don't know, because I was too young for the reveal.
I was 6, and I remember.
Yeah, I would have been 4. I had no idea.
Remember when Chewie gets his medal at the end of the movie? I was one of the only ones who cheered really loud for that in the theater. Nobody else seemed to react to it except me, because for the longest time, it's been a source of contention for me that Chewie never had a medal.
That's
and
true.
The first time I saw it, I thought that Leia just had it, you know, just floating around and never gave it to Chewie. And I was like going home thinking, why didn't Leia give Chewie that medal a long time ago? But the rewatch, I realized when Leia is trying to reach Ben when he's fighting Rey, mm-hmm. she's laying down and she's holding a medal. That medal that they give Chewie. I think it's Han's medal. So she's holding a part of Han while she's reaching Ben. And that's the medal they give Chewie. And I think that has even more significance.
It does. Oh.
And it's still like not fair to Chewie. Why didn't he get a medal? Because George Lucas just thought he was a sidekick, not the main character, and that's
why. Well, I mean, that's a hard one.
And when Chewie broke down, when he realized Leia, that was painful. I didn't care at that point who heard me crying. I was sniffling. I was wiping tears. I didn't care, but I wasn't the only one. He is the last one other than, I guess Lando, 3PO, and R2, right?
Yeah.
Luke is gone. Leia's gone. Han is gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm so glad they didn't kill him. Whenever Rey accidentally shot lightning out of her fingertips, and I was like, my heart was in my stomach, because I read that stupid book, Vector Prime, where they killed Chewie off. And it was all over Han and Leia's son and him trying to save him. And I just like, no, don't do this. They didn't, thankfully. Ugh, they juked us. They also did that to us in the trailers when they showed 3PO with red eyes looking at everybody going, I was just, you know, wanting to see my friends for the last time. And I was like, don't do this to us. Do not kill another character off from the original trilogy. I don't think I could handle it. It was a total misdirect.
Well, yeah, that and the Dark Rey thing. Yeah.
The 3PO thing had me really worried. I was going in expecting 3PO to die.
Well, we have been talking for a long time. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. Oh, the theme about, it's about choices. There was like an article about, what Rey and Harry Potter have in common or whatever. And you, there was something else, because I ended up writing down a few little like nuggets of some of the things you even said to me about some of the big themes. And I feel like the choices that we make are a huge part of it. And then the other one was never be afraid of to be who you are. That's the one.
Never be afraid of who you are.
There was one more thing that I totally forgot about. It was something I noticed in the second viewing where this whole idea, and I just keep getting more information in my mind from the whole Kylo arc, is that he just doesn't want to be alone, and he doesn't think that he can be good. So he has to try to make Rey bad in order to be with her.
Misery loves company.
I don't think it's the misery as much as that he genuinely doesn't think he can be better. Like, he genuinely thinks he's stuck. So in order to have someone with him, he has to bring her to the dark side. But I think that her belief, her constant belief that he could be good is so great. And it works, you know, it works in the end. You know, it does work in the end, which I think is kind of cool.
I think that's why he falls in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, see,
you know, especially after the last movie, The Last Jedi, where they're having these
Force moments, FaceTime calls.
FaceTime calls. I think she shows him that there's another reason that people might want to talk to him or be around him, you know, because he's used to people either being afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes off with Luke to be trained because he has these Force abilities and Luke's afraid of him. And now he's being used and manipulated. And I think he knows that.
Yeah.
And he always feels like he has to live up to his grandfather.
Yeah.
And here's this girl who doesn't want anything from him. And she's angry at him for what he's done to his own father, for what he's done to her. And through their little Force calls, she's genuinely interested in hearing him out and listening to what he has to say for a change. Nobody listens to him.
No.
You know what I mean?
I agree. Well, and I think, I mean, I don't know, like I was in my fantasy version of how it plays out. I'm not really interested as much in the shipping part of it, but I really would think it would be cool, like in a perfect world, in like an alternate universe, for them to have some sort of like Lan Moraine sort of relationship where they're just like bonded warriors. How cool would that be? Like that would have been awesome. That would be the relationship, like just completely soulmates, but on this just sort of, or like Guinan and Picard.
Bastila, like, and Revan were Force bonded.
Yes. So like, how cool? I don't know. I just think that would be cool.
I agree.
That would have been to me very satisfying. Again, I'm not at all upset with the kiss at all. I'm really not. But in my my alternate reality version where he could be forgiven to the point where he could stay alive. But I do agree that he's done too many atrocities to have earned that. But anyway. All right. We can keep going.
So overall, we loved it. We loved it.
We did. You know, you can't please everybody. Are there things we would change? Sure. Are there things that made us super happy? Also, yes. So good. Good time had by all. Well, the next show for sure will be when Picard starts.
Yes. January 23rd?
Yeah. So it'll be in like a month. So at least we'll have another show out.
We're working on things. We're not abandoning you guys. And we appreciate you still being there. We will be back soon. Enjoy. Go watch it again.
Yeah, watch it again and again.
Go watch The Mando and listen to the Star Wars stacks.
Yay!
We'll be doing another review of Rise of Skywalker, and we also reviewed The Mandalorian. Go by anomalypodcast.com. That's anomaly podcast.com, and check out all the archived episodes.
And we have reviewed every single, I checked to make sure, we have done every movie in the Skywalker saga plus Rogue One and Solo.
It's
all there if you're curious about it. If you want to just get a masterclass in all things Star Wars, you've come to the right place.
And let us know what you thought of the movie. You can contact us at GorillaGeeks@gmail.com. That's GorillaGeeks@gmail.com. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, the halfway point between Muggle and Geek.
Woo-hoo! We did it.
Okay. Talk to you later. All right. Next podcast.
Talk to you in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
I'm
switching
gonna,
gears.
Yeah. Okay.
Stop.
Be back shortly.
Okay. Bye.
I'm all the Jedi. I'm all the Sith. I'm all the Jedi. Go Jedi. Go Sith. I'm all the Jedi. I'm all the Sith. I'm all the Jedi. Go Jedi. Go Sith. I'm all the Jedi. I'm all the Sith. I'm all the Jedi. Go Jedi.